Welcome to the Father's Day. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Thank you so much for being with me. Once again, we are taping in the radio studio instead of on the set of the Father's Day due to the coronavirus situation. Hopefully this will pass soon, and it will. Don't forget to hit like and the notification bell so that you could be notified, get notified when the Father's Day put up brand new videos. I have with me a very interesting guest today, Ara Vasquez. She's a community organizer and environmentalist social justice advocate. Ara, thank you so much for being with me.
Thank you so much for having me.
I really appreciate it. How are you dealing with this coronavirus situation?
I have so many thoughts and feelings about what's going on currently with the COVID-19 pandemic. I mean, you know, we all asked to be home, so I have been observing that. So trying to keep busy with tons of online activities and with friends remotely. I just feel that is a huge misled by our government. I think we are in this quarantine because when we first learned about COVID-19, we didn't really act with the sense of urgency that this really required.
Have you been wearing a mask?
Yes. Amazing. I have been wearing it when I go out.
Yeah.
And this is not foreign to me, but I have wear a mask. And now I have certain clothes that I wear when I go on walks. You know, I live alone in my home, so I'm completely isolated.
Amazing.
And also practicing self-reliance in case that I get sick. You know, I'm just here on my own. So
yeah.
I have a certain pair of shoes and an outwear that I have that I wear when I go outside.
Amazing. So I read that Barack Obama inspired you to become a community organizer. Is that true?
Absolutely. So, you know, I'm an immigrant from Colombia. And 25 years ago, my family and I came to this country, you know, like a lot of other immigrants from my country, really escaping the war against drugs.
Right.
You know, the narco war. So we went to New York. I went to school there. I worked for a Congress member for a long time. And that's when actually I realized that maybe the system wasn't really set up to support and to help a lot of us. So in those years, Barack Obama was running for president, and I learned that he was a community organizer. So I came to California to learn community organizing, inspired by his work.
Amazing. You call yourself an Afro-Latina from Colombia. What is an Afro-Latina? You don't look like an Afro.
That is a very, very good question. And it's funny that you say that because for some people, I'm very Afro and I'm not actually anything else. Well, you know, a lot of folks in Latin America, and I think almost everyone, have somewhat a linkage to the African culture and also to the African diaspora. So my father, for example, is black, is dark color in Colombia, and my mom is more of indigenous descent. So Afro-Latinos are just people that are Latinos that are maybe born and raised or born in Latin America, but that they have direct roots with their African, you know, diaspora or their African, you know, roots. So specifically in Colombia, I'm from an area called Cali, and that's like a huge concentration of black people in Colombia. So that's what hints that I'm a little darker and like my color, my curls and such. So my mom definitely doesn't look like this.
Amazing. So just, I'm a little black, I'm black and slow. So in Colombia, would your father be considered a black man or just a dark Colombia person?
Yeah, so in Colombia, my dad would be considered also black.
Oh.
Absolutely. A lot of my cousins, for example, you could perfectly be my cousin.
Really?
A lot of my cousins are your complexion as well. So this is what's interesting with like race and ethnicity and your roots. because a lot of people in other countries have very strong roots from other places. But, you know, we were born in a whole other different country. So, like, for example, when I go to New Orleans, to Louisiana, I see a lot of people like me. And in fact, they think that I'm Creole because, you know, in America, we have so many mixtures. And, you know, my dad calls me in Spanish Negrita, which is, you know, little black because I'm like my immediate family. So
that's amazing. I often wonder, I mean, now that you're here in America, and not all blacks, but most blacks here are not doing very well in that they have a lot of anger. The families are all screwed up for the most part, out of wedlock, birth and all those things. And blacks are like complaining and they're, you know, mad at the white man. Does it feel weird identified as black in a country where blacks are out of control?
Well, right, and absolutely, and it feels double weird because Latinos also have their fair share of complaints and dissatisfactions with the current, you know, system and white people in general, white privilege. So you know, both Latinos and African Americans share the same sentiment around being discriminated against, you know, people of color in general. But for me, it's especially interesting because I kind of fall in these two places.
Yeah.
And especially here in Los Angeles, where I live, where it's one of the most diverse places of LA, it's very interesting to be, you know, to have these roots. Also because there are not a lot of Colombians in LA. So that makes it even more complex for people to like, but wait, what happens out there? You know, like what happens in Colombia? You know? Like,
so do the Latinos see you as Latino?
Latinos see me as Latina, but among the let's say first generation Latinos, they will categorize me as Colombian. So that's the other kind of interesting thing that, you know, Mexicans, you know, a lot of Mexican Americans here, Chicanos have been generations here, 7, 8, 10, maybe even more.
Right.
So this came in. Salvadorians are also a community that is fast and growing in Los Angeles, but there's not a lot of us. So when they hear me talk, especially when they hear me talk in Spanish, they immediately say, where are you from? You're not from, you're from somewhere else. And, you know, they always refer to the novelas and, you know, that sort of thing. So, but like, no, they're like, oh, she's from Colombia, because culturally, even though we speak Spanish and maybe we rice and beans and such, we're culturally a little different too.
Are you surprised to see or discover that blacks and Latina don't like each other, that blacks hate the Latinos and the Latinos hate the blacks?
There are a couple of layers in that statement. So I think in terms of perception that Latinos, I have heard this often, that Latinos have come and taken the jobs from African-Americans.
Right.
That, you know, that Latinos get the jobs because they speak Spanish and African-Americans don't. And so and at that level, I often hear that. And as someone that I ran for office, I ran for city council. Again, in a district that is very diverse, that was very prominent.
Yeah.
Are you going to also take care of us, or is it just for the Latinos since you're like Latina or Afro-Latina? Or, you know, that was something complicated to navigate. But actually, I think that we have more in common than we often talk about. You know, we have an incredible love for music and culture, African Americans and Latinos. We love our families. You know, we do anything for them. That's across the board. You know, we're a thriving community that has been, again, discriminated against in this country and all around the world since the beginning of times. And we'll still keep pushing forward for our community and for our people. So I often like to remind people that we actually have more in common than we have, you know, in differences, and that we actually need to work together in order for us to get more.
I do a lot of work in the inner cities, Compton and South Central LA and East LA sometimes now. And a lot of people watch my shows in those areas and they want to know why can't the blacks are asking me, why can't we keep the Latinos out of our schools, out of our communities? And a lot of blacks are leaving those areas because of the violence between the blacks and the Hispanics and things.
Yeah.
What do you say to those blacks who don't want the Hispanics there and are leaving as a result of Hispanics coming in?
Yeah, I think that this is as a result of something bigger, which is the system that we have set up. And again, talking about white people and white privilege and how white privilege has affected people of color and now is making us go against each other instead of working together. So our diversity actually is our greatest strength. And you see that violence on the streets. And if you work in the inner city, you know about the gangs and the arguments around
right.
gangs.
Yeah.
And we can't talk about that without talking about the school prison pipeline, where police target certain people, especially African Americans.
So are you saying that the white people are making the blacks, are causing the blacks and Hispanics to fight one another?
Absolutely.
So what's wrong with the blacks and Hispanics that they were allow someone else to cause them to fight each other and hate one another?
Well, it's about power. It's about access and it's about power. If we work together, we're definitely stronger because we're the minority right now. So if we continue working together and getting the things that we want and working towards that, I mean, imagine the powers at hand right now, what's going to happen to them? So it's really a conversation about power. And this is why it's so strategic for them to make sure that we are not aligned. And often we see these things, and I hate to get so conspiracy here, but it's true that historically we have been put against, because it's easier to manage a community that is not united and unified.
Amazing.
Than a community that is separated and fighting each other.
Did you come here, did you come here legally or illegally?
I came here legally with my family, but shortly after we became all undocumented. This is the days prior to 9/11. We came in like the early 2000s.
Right.
So we came here, we went to school. My brothers and I went to school here, to university here, and it's extremely difficult to maintain a visa living as an immigrant in the United States. I mean, they will require us to have $100,000 in the bank and a lot of other requirements that were like definitely unreasonable for anyone, even if you are born in America.
So are you legal now or still illegal?
No, I'm very legal right now. I wouldn't be able to run for office if I had
I was going to say. So what was it like for you coming to America? What was that like for you coming here?
Well, you know, I came here when I was 18. My family back home is a very active family. We're very focused in the community. Hint, my passion and my desire to also continue helping the community here. So leaving home was quite dramatic. And, you know, I didn't speak any English. We had some status. We were very well known in our city and, again, belonged to a very big community. And we came to the United States as any other immigrant, you know, to work hard. We didn't know much people here. We didn't have a big network, and we just had to start from scratch, like a lot of people do, in the pursuit of the American, you know, dream and a better life.
Do you love America?
Of course.
You love it.
Of course.
There's a lot of talk about closing the borders between Mexico and America. Are you in support of closing the border?
Closing the border because of COVID-19?
No, just putting up a big beautiful putting up a big beautiful wall to stop the illegals from coming in. Are you for that?
Look, the reality is that we have one of the most advanced army military complex in the world. If we really wanted to stop people from coming through the border, we would do it. We have drone technology. We have night vision technology. I mean, like, we have so much technology to really keep our borders safe. Now, if we want to use our tax money on building another wall that actually was just found a bunch of drugs, just this last week I was reading on the paper that they confiscated a bunch of drugs in the wall. I mean, I don't agree with that part.
So are you for the wall? Are you for the wall?
No. I think if we want better protection and having a secure borders, we need better technology. That is, it's just a lot more effective than a wall. A wall is just a rhetoric from our current federal government to utilize our taxes for something that we already have a wall there, and it just hasn't worked. If they really want to secure our borders from the bad people, they should invest or deploy the technology that they have that they use in the Middle East and in other places.
So if I'm hearing you correct, you're not for the wall. You just want some type of army or technology. But why not have the wall go up and use technology as well to be sure they can't get in?
Yeah, I mean, I invite you to go check out the border yourself.
Yeah, I've done that. I've done
it. Already. You're seeing the wall. I mean, it's so clear to me that this is a political move by our president. And it's just really not protecting Americans.
When are you for the wall in Israel?
For the wall in Israel?
Yeah, they have a wall separated from Palestine there in Israel. Are you for that?
I'm not very familiar with the wall in Palestine and in
Israel.
In Israel, uh-huh. I actually have visited Israel in Palestine and in Bethlehem, where the place where allegedly baby Jesus was born when baby Jesus was born. I visited there.
Yeah.
It's a very complex situation, not just here, but also there. I also think that we have so many issues that we need to deal with in this country than worrying about where other walls in the world are being built.
I've noticed that when immigrants come here to this country, they don't seem to want to assimilate. Why is that?
I think that's a very big generalization. Number one, not all immigrants are of the same age or educational background. Some immigrants come here and they are farmers, and they come here to ask for, asylum. Actually, there are already ways where we bring immigrants here to work in our field. So they have a very different experience than someone like me that came to go to college, that learned English, and 20 years later ran for city council in the second largest city in the country. So we can generalize that they don't want to assimilate. I mean, culturally, we're very, very, different. And again, immigrants or Latinos, well, immigrants from Africa, immigrants from Europe are very different. Immigrants from Canada are very different than Latin American immigrants that come here. Right. So I don't know if we can generalize that every immigrant doesn't want to assimilate.
I noticed that there is a push for illegal aliens to become citizens in this country, even though they broke the law to get here. They have driver's license, they want free insurance, houses, and they want us to take care of them. Is that fair that the American taxpayer should have to take care of illegal aliens?
Well, if you pay taxes, you should enjoy the benefits of what paying taxes gives you. And immigrants that come here, whether it's legally or illegally, they pay taxes.
But
so therefore, they should also join, enjoy the benefits of any other taxpayer in this country.
Well, most of them don't pay taxes because they work under the table.
We all pay taxes. I can tell you that I was an undocumented immigrant for a few years and had to pay taxes. In fact, when you come here, the first thing that they advise you is to start paying taxes with a tax ID number. That's what anyone. Why? Because if you want to ever adjust your status, you're gonna need to present in good faith that you have been complying and assimilating to the rules of this country. So I think that that's a big misinformation. And sadly, today with the COVID-19, a lot of people, for example, that pay taxes, they don't get taxes in they don't get that money back, taxes in return at all. Just like you and I. You and I pay our taxes. We file our taxes every year, and we might get money if we pay too much, or we might not. A lot of undocumented immigrants don't have the benefit to do that. So they just put money on Uncle Sam's piggy bank, and they don't get anything back.
The thing I don't like is that, I work hard, and I would rather have more of my tax money in my pocket rather than giving it to a group of people who broke the law to get here, showing respect for the country, respect for the citizens here. Why should I want to pay my money for people who are breaking the law to come here? And then they're having all these babies because Mexicans are having babies like 90 going north. Why would I want to take care of illegal aliens' babies, too?
Well, they can say the same thing about you.
Why? I'm a citizen.
And helping you while they not getting anything in return. Again, I just explained that a lot of undocumented folks pay into the taxes.
How do they pay? They're not taking it out of their paychecks.
You are required by law to present money. So let's say I'm a gardener and I get paid $100 a week. I'm required to report that and pay taxes over that.
But most illegals don't report it, though. They get paid a private check in their name, and they never have to report that. Especially the gardeners and the housekeepers. Especially with the gardeners and the housekeepers, they don't report it. They put it in their pocket.
Let's say they don't report it, and they put their money under the mattress.
Right.
They still pay sales tax, which goes to a lot
amazing.
Of
deserving. Yeah. Would you consider yourself a socialist or a capitalist?
That's a really good question. Well, I live in a capitalist system, so even for those that this might make them crunch, I'm a capitalist, But do I believe that there are socialist values and ideology that are helpful to us? Absolutely. Like the idea that we all should have good healthcare. Absolutely. That we should have affordable ways to go to school and advance ourselves. Absolutely. So in that sense, maybe I'm a little bit of both.
So you are a socialist.
I'm a little bit of both. I live in this country. I make money just like you. I work hard. therefore, I live in a capitalist, society. I'm therefore, again, like I said, as much as this might be troublesome for some people to accept. Yeah, I'm a capitalist. But I do believe that we need Medicare for all. I do believe that we need an educational system that prepares us for the future. And that might be viewed as socialist. Who knows?
I don't know if this is true or not, but I read that you successfully pushed for California to allow illegals to obtain driver's licenses. Is that true?
Yeah.
Really? Why would you do that?
Well, because for a lot of us that worry about safety, like yourself, it's easier to have someone going through the system, having their information, taking the car test, entering them into the system so that if anything happens, we know. Do you imagine the millions of people that were driving out there without knowing what they were doing? I mean, we all come from different places, Europe, the Middle East, Asia, Africa, and we all have our different ways.
I know, but we're talking about illegal aliens, not the ones that come through the front door, but the ones who are breaking in through the back door.
I'm saying that Europeans are not illegal.
Right.
I don't agree with you.
Why
there
not?
Are tons of Europeans that come to this country and are undocumented today.
Like where?
So I.
Where is that?
I live in your city.
I'm sorry?
And I know plenty. And, you know, I encourage you to also think about.
But that wouldn't be right if they're illegal aliens. It wouldn't be right for them to get a driver's license either. If they're illegal, it doesn't matter the color. It's just we shouldn't reward criminals.
I'm glad that you're mentioning that you don't care about color, because your argument makes it very a little ambivalent that it's okay for some people and not for others.
No, anyone that break the law to come to our country as the illegal aliens are doing, they should not be rewarded.
And don't have documents and nobody's talking about them. I have not heard you say the first time that Canadian undocumented folks or European undocumented folks, so watch out for the color there because it's very misleading. Now, do we need having a driver's license is a privilege. It's not a right. I don't know if you know that. That's why California was able to change the rules around.
But I just want to know, are you a Christian?
I'm not a Christian.
Oh, are you an atheist?
I'm not an atheist.
What are you?
That's a good question. I think I will categorize myself more as spiritual. I was brought up in a Catholic home. So my family are culturally Catholics, but I will say that I'm maybe more spiritual than anything else.
What does it mean to be spiritual? What does that mean?
To me, that means that I believe in God. Oh. And what that me is that I good do to other people, no matter what color, what gender, what social status, what immigration status.
So let me ask, believing in God, is it right to reward criminals in such a good way as free insurance and free houses and driver's licenses and health care? Is it right to reward criminals in that manner?
Well, my understanding is under the eyes of God, we are all their children.
No, that's not true.
If God loves his children like he loves it, and like we should love God as we love our neighbor. So therefore, but again, like I'm a spiritual person, so I love everybody.
So you think God will reward criminals?
God will reward criminals. Maybe that they repent. Isn't that some of the promise?
These illegal aliens are not repentant. They won't. If they repented, they would apologize and go back home.
How do you know they're not repentant? Do you talk to them?
Because they don't go back home. If they were sorry for breaking the law, they would say, America, I apologize. And they would leave and go back. But instead, they're begging and blaming and wanting free stuff. So they're not very repentant.
Again, that's a very big stereotype and a big statement you're making, because you can't generalize everyone as the same. You know, let's not forget that a lot of the immigrants that come to this country come as refugees asking for asylum. Why? Because of the policies, the international policies that we have in other countries. We go to other countries, we exploit them in our capitalist with our capitalist views, we leave those countries with nothing, forcing people to come here to look for a better life. Are we criminals then? Is America a criminal state and a criminal country?
But mostly people are not.
Go and bomb other countries and take resources and terrorize other people. Does that make us also criminals?
I don't know if America's doing that, but it doesn't make sense if that's happening. I mean, but most of these people are not coming seeking asylum because they come from El Salvador all the way down through Mexico, all the way trying to get to America. So if they were seeking asylum, you would think that they would stop in Mexico or other areas before Mexico.
If they're coming to this country looking for asylum, you have to come to this country and ask for asylum, not in Mexico. So maybe.
But why don't they live in Mexico? Why don't they stay there? Those that come from El Salvador and other places.
Can you say it again? I didn't catch you.
Those who are traveling from El Salvador through Mexico, Why don't they stay in Mexico if they're seeking asylum?
Because they're coming to seek asylum in America.
Well, why they got to come here? We can't afford
it. We have a lot more resources. And again, look into it. I hope that you can invite maybe a professor of international relations that can tell you about the history of this country and the imperialist history of this country and how they go to other countries and take advantage of their local resources and just use it for our capitalist society. So leaving the other country with little resources. So people come here asking for asylum. That is completely appropriate and it's not against the law.
Amazing. So I read that you are socialist justice environmentalist, right?
Yeah.
And what does that mean?
What that means is that a lot of the work that I have done has been to protect our environment that is in much need of attention today. And actually with COVID-19, you can see how pollution has been reduced. We have find a different way of living. So yeah, I have worked a lot on creating local green jobs, renewable energy, for example. So that's what I have done.
I just heard a report this morning, I believe, or maybe last night, that the environment in California is clean because of most of the people off the streets. And
yeah.
It's raining. It's been raining. So it really helped the environment a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Yesterday actually was a record day for lower pollution in Los Angeles.
Right.
Los Angeles has the worst air pollution in the country since 1979. So yesterday was a big win, a big celebration. It was almost like Earth Day.
Amazing. One of the problems is that we have a lot of homeless people like living on the streets, and these people are drug addicts, alcoholics, murderers and rapists and they have all kind of illegal alien diseases and things out there. And that seemed to be affecting the environment more than anything else. Do you agree to that, Elise?
So it depends. Greenhouse gas emissions, the majority of our CO2 emissions come from cars and from electrical plants. So gas plants, coal plants. People emissions come from overeating, for example, meat. That's where like our personal, you know, emissions of CO2 come from. In terms of the homeless, it's interesting. In Los Angeles, 37% of the homeless are African-American. And that actually really speaks about the disparity among people that can get a job and not get a job.
But they can get a job, and just that they're alcoholics and drug addicts. Most of the blacks who are homeless are alcoholics and drug addicts in California. And then the Mexicans are illegal. So that's why it's all mixed up in there like that.
That is, A big reason why people end up on the streets is because they can't afford to live in their home.
No, it's because they're drug addicts and alcoholics. Even the family members won't take them in because it's dangerous living with them or allowing them to live in your home. So their own parents, in some cases, husband and wives and children are throwing them out because most of them are drug addicts and alcoholics.
A lot of shelter community have mental illness and they self-medicate with drugs. So it's not such a black and white, and I wish we could point it out that way because then it would be easy. You just take everybody to rehab and boom, problem solved. But it's not like that. It's really not like that. It's not a homogenous community. It's a community that, for example, among women, a lot of them experience domestic violence and they end up on the streets.
Right about that. Women are very violent toward these men, and these men end up on the streets because if they fight these women back, the women falsely accuse them. So the men end up on the street. I do agree with that.
I find your commentary often very comical. I just have to mention because I caught myself laughing, and it's not that I'm laughing at you. is this that your commentary can be pretty unbelievable.
In what way? What do you mean?
Well, I mean, because you make all these very black and white statements that are not even 100% accurate.
No, I've been in California. I've been in California since 1968, and I've been involved with my community and my state for the last 30 years. I work downtown. I work in the inner cities around, and it's mostly drug addicts and alcoholics and angry people. The reason that this is happening, there is something that's called environmentalist racism. Have you ever heard that term?
Yeah.
What does that mean? That's the darndest thing I ever seen.
Environmental racisms refer to the idea that in order to have a healthy environment, that a healthy environment is only for certain people, and it speaks about socioeconomics. So zip code and geography. So like, for example, if you live in Los Angeles, chances are in Beverly Hills, if you have an environmental issue, it gets taken care of faster than in other communities like Black communities and Latino communities. Like, you can see this, like, for example, with refineries. Refineries are the most toxic places, and they're oftentimes so to be place in communities where they're low income and communities of color. So that's what.
Oh, I see what you mean. So, but in Beverly Hills, and I have friends up there, Black friends, you're right about Beverly Hills, but the people up there, they have families. They are wealthy because they work hard. They take care of their communities. But in the Black, abnormal Black communities, Blacks are having babies out of wedlock. The men around don't take care of their own homes. They don't cut the grass or paint their own home. They won't take care of. So the standard from the people are lower. So you're not going to get the same service as you would with a community that pays.
Well, it's not just about service. And like I said, it's geography, socioeconomics, gender, race, obviously it's environmental racism. But it's also the idea that a lot of corporations work together with government and say, well, where do we have areas where nobody's really watching? So nobody's going to complain if we put this big gas plant in their backyard, or if we start drilling for oil in the backyard. So communities that are less educated and less involved in the civic process oftentimes are the victims of racism.
So why is it that Democrats?
Beverly Hills, I have plenty of Latino friends that are millionaires,
right,
that are actually entertainment, and that's all great. But again, you can't generalize because it's just not how it is.
So why is it that, because you make a good point about some of those things, why is it that the Democrats don't want the inner cities to be as beautiful and well-kept as their community that they live in? Because I notice the politicians don't live in the communities that they're supposed to represent. They would live in places like Beverly Hills. But when it comes to the environment for the inner cities, they don't give a hoop about it. Why is that? You're right about that.
I think that inner cities are in every part of, of any community. It doesn't matter if it's represented by a Democrat or by a Republican or by a Libertarian.
But it's mostly Democrats, though, because if you notice, California.
But Beverly Hills is also in a Democratic state.
But they have money up there, though. They really take care of each other. The Blacks and the Mexicans down in the other part.
I think you nailed it in the head.
Right.
I think that what happens in low-income communities and why you see that there is not a lot of beautification. For low-income communities, there's a lot of other factors before they can. A lot of them are renters. They don't own their homes. The second thing is that a lot of them also have to, for example, think about what kind of job can I get? I need to work first. Then it's healthcare. Then it's like there's a line of priorities before you can think about, like, oh, now I'm going to fix my home. A lot of people have inherit homes from maybe their family members. They live in fixed income. They're older and they don't. And this also makes it hard. Now, I live in Los Angeles. I wouldn't think this is the inner city or anything like that. But there is great homeowners pride because people own their homes. And again, African Americans, Black people, Latinos don't own homes at the same rate as white people do.
If they were to do it the right way, if they were to get married, have children with a husband and wife in the home, the father worked and provided, and they treated each other and do the right thing, would they be able to own home then? Because most of them are having babies out of wedlock.
Look, I have, like, in my whole circle of friends, nobody has babies. Please send some babies in our group because we don't have any babies.
But most of them are, though. Most of the Blacks are having babies out of wedlock.
I think you are pounding on an idea of this American dream where the male works and the woman stays with
Yes.
And that's impossible to obtain right now.
Why?
Harvard.
Why is that
a degree. I earn good money and I don't have kids because I can't afford them. And that's the reality that we live in.
But because of your degree,
shouldn't be something that is because having a child should be because you want to, because it comes from out of love, because you decide that's the decision you have made, whether you're single or not. There are beautiful single parents out there doing work with their kids. Of course.
Let me ask this question. Because of your degree from Harvard and all that, and you're an educated woman, but you probably would never end up with a husband, because a man is not going to marry an educated woman because it's difficult for her to be a good wife and a mother. And when
you not failed it. That's why I'm single.
Right. And men want wives. They don't want women who want to be like a man. They want a real woman. And educated women are not real women. They pretend to be men. Am I right?
Wrong.
I'm wrong?
Absolutely. Educated women are women that are educated, and that's it.
But they have big egos. They have big egos and
values, as maybe family. I have a beautiful garden. That are very accomplished women that
I know, but they have big egos, and they're going to end up old and lonely because men don't want women. They'll have sex with them, but they wouldn't want to have children with them, and they wouldn't want to marry educated women with big egos.
I think that that's a very ignorant statement, and I don't think it's correct.
Oh, it's true. Believe me, I talk to men every day. It's true.
Well, don't send them my way because we'll definitely not go back.
Amazing. We almost ran out of time here. Do you, how many illegal aliens is enough? When will illegal alien supporters know that enough is enough? How many illegals too many for America? We need to stop it at what point?
I can't give you that figure. I think people have the right to come to this country and ask for asylum. I think people have the right to do what they want, just like what you're asking for your followers and for your for the people that watch your show.
Amazing. Do you love white people?
I love everybody.
Do you love white people?
I love some white people, yeah.
Do you love white people?
Yeah.
Okay.
I also love Black people, I also love Latino people, and I also love Asian people, and I also love Middle Eastern people. I love people.
But how about the whites?
They were included too.
But I didn't ask about anybody but the whites. I asked, do you love white people?
Yeah.
You know? How do you feel knowing that white people are the most hated group of people in this country, and they built the country. They founded it. They built the country. And if it wasn't for white people, there would be no America. And then the illegal aliens and all these immigrants wouldn't have a place to go to. I know, but let me finish this. And so if it wasn't for the white people, illegal aliens and immigrants wouldn't have an American could come to. And so the whites let them in, and when they get here, they discriminate against the whites. How do you feel about that?
Well, number one, I want to clarify a few things. White people came to this country, and indigenous people were already in this country.
It wasn't a country, though.
Exploded. there were indigenous people living here.
No, but they were out in the woods smoking pot. They weren't doing anything. They weren't living in the woods.
Indeed. You don't even believe that you yourself are cracking.
No, they were smoking what they call, what was it, peyote or something. They were poking peyote, and they wasn't building a country. It wasn't a country.
White people came here, exploited this land that belonged to indigenous people in this country, and therefore, karma is a real thing. I leave you with that.
But if they get rid of the white people, they're going to do to this country what they have done to the country that they left to get here.
I don't believe that.
Why not?
I mean, undocumented folks and just immigrants in general are the backbone of this country. White people came here as immigrants. What are you talking about? They came here to found this country from a whole other place, escaping religious, discrimination. Like, come
but
on.
But why, if they are so smart, if the immigrants and the illegals are so talented and smart, why don't they build their own country? Why do they come here and turn this country into a hellhole?
Because we live in a free society where we can do what we want. Isn't that your promise,
but,
too?
I know, but it's not their country. It belongs to white people.
This country belongs to everyone here. It doesn't just belong to white people, or it doesn't belong to you either, or it doesn't belong to people that believe that certain people are better than other people. This country is for all of us.
I got to heat this interview up and put you on the hot seat, but I first want to ask, you seem to be, as you say, you're a go-getter, you're a tough lady, you have degrees, and you don't...
Yeah, and you want to marry me for that, according to you.
Right. They'll have sex with you, but they won't marry you.
But there you go. Or have kids
with you. Or have kids with you.
Go tell them.
But let me ask, you are an organizer. Why not go back to your country and organize that country with the talents and the ambition that you have? Why not go back and organize your own country?
I have started doing some efforts in Colombia as well, in my town. But this is home now. I have been here for over 25 years now, so this is home.
But we are a capitalist nation. And we don't want socialist people to come here with their socialist ideas and turn America to a socialist society. Because you guys left a socialist society, and you didn't like it. Why would you come here to create the same environment?
History is together. Colombia is not a socialist place either.
Yes, it is. I have several friends from there.
Okay. Don't spread lies, please. Don't spread crazy ideas. Colombia is a capitalist country. And this country, let's not forget that as capitalist as it is, your promise is that this is a free land for everyone. And here we are.
How do you feel about white people being discriminated against? They are hated for no reason. They are discriminated against. Do you like the fact that white people being discriminated against? They're called white supremacists, they're called Nazi, they're called everything but decent people. Are you happy with the fact that white people are being discriminated against?
White people should be discriminated against, just like what I don't think African Americans or Latinos should be discriminated against. I do believe that there is white supremacy here. I do believe that white people, not everyone, but some of them, behave with white privilege. I do believe that that is affecting us all, including you.
How do you feel about black supremacists and Mexican supremacists, those Mexicans that wear the red bandinos and the black people that go, black power, black power? Are you against that?
Again, I don't think anyone, including black people, should be discriminated against.
But no, are you against the blacks that go, black power, black power?
If the Ku Klux Klan can do it, Some black groups should too.
So you're not against the blacks and the Mexicans doing it with the red bambinos on and things like that. You're not against that.
I don't know what group is that, but it doesn't sound so bad to me.
But you're against white people promoting so-called white supremacists.
I'm against white supremacists.
But not black and Mexican supremacists.
What I don't support, let's just make a distinction because you're interchanging terminology here and it's very dangerous. I don't support people discriminating against white people. I don't support people discriminating among African Americans. I don't support people discriminated against anyone because of their ethnicity or their race. What I don't believe is right is white supremacy when it's used against other people and generating laws that affect other people in disparity.
How about black supremacists and Mexican supremacy when they do it to white to white people? Do you agree then?
I never heard of black supremacists.
Black power.
That's different than black supremacists.
What? I got to throw my guests in the hot seat. I need you to answer these questions as quickly as possible, all right?
The hot seat.
Lady Gaga or Katy Perry?
Lady Gaga.
Is the United States the greatest country in the world?
Yes.
Do you prefer to date alpha males or beta males?
I can't even answer that. So, I don't even know what to answer to that.
Do you prefer to date alpha males or beta males? Beta males are weak males. Alpha males are strong men.
Sure.
Which
I
one?
Why not?
You take the alpha male.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe it's possible to have perfect peace?
Yes.
Have liberal policies helped or hurt the Los Angeles homeless problems?
Have
liberal policies helped or hurt the Los Angeles homeless problem?
Help.
Is it ever okay to tell a woman she's fat?
It's not okay.
Do you love white people? I asked that already. Do you love white people?
He asked me that.
Is Joe Biden mentally together?
He is.
Do you love the Great White Hope?
I don't know what that is.
President Trump.
No.
You don't love President Trump?
No.
Is the Earth flat?
No.
Who has more privileges? Who has more privileges? Illegals in America or American veterans?
Veterans.
Two last questions. What is love?
Unity.
What is a man?
Support. You just told me I'm just going to be single forever, so I'm just going to sit with a glass of wine and cry, and it's like 1 p.m.
Yeah. You... I really enjoyed talking to you. Thank you for this. Is there anything you'd like to promote? And thank you for taking the hot seat, too. Anything you'd like to promote? How can people get involved with what you're doing and contact
you? Yeah, you know, we are in, these are very uncertain times. And whether you believe certain ways or another, this is the time for us to come together and make sure that our city works for all of us. And our world is also united to really fight against this pandemic. We're really going to have to rely on each other. So if people want to get in touch, they can find me on social media. Send me a little message. If, you know, now you know my deepest, darkest secrets that I've never thought. Because I'm a smart woman. So, well, if you have anybody who's up for the challenge, send them my way.
So,
no, but seriousness, we really need to become a better society after we come out of this COVID-19 crisis. We need to unify ourselves, and we need to leave all of these perceptions and all of these ideologies and work together. And I'm really committed to do that. So if you want to join me, just follow my social media, Aura Vasquez Official. I'm sure you're going to put it somewhere in the comments and such, and stay in touch.
I really enjoyed speaking with you. Thank you so much for coming on. And if you should change your ways, then you will get a husband and kids. But if you stay like this, you're not going to get a husband.
I'm going to share the news out there and see what happens.
All right. God bless you. Thank you so much.
Have a great day.
All right. Bye now. Thank you, folks, for tuning in. I absolutely appreciate it. Don't forget to like, follow, tweet, subscribe. We have all different type of merch at thefallenstate.tv. And let me hear from you. Have a good one, folks. Thank you so much.
Next time on The Fallen State.
Intellectual people pretend not to have wisdom. They don't have that love. What? They don't see where the they don't see who created the
intellect. You have to be non-intellectual to understand love? Come on. See, this is an example of how religion poisons your thinking.
The real love is in the Father, not in the woman. The love comes through the...
What do you mean?
Than that, if the woman doesn't have a man, then she has no love.
I can't go down that road with you on that. There is no God. Things just happen. This is just the laws of nature taking their course.
If heaven exists, will you go there when you die?
I think so.
You think you're going to heaven?
Yes.
Interesting. Thanks for watching The Fallen State. We need your continued support. Donate to my nonprofit here. Subscribe and like the videos here. And tell everybody and their mama about the show.